This is episode 459 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. Today, I'm breaking down Adolis Garcia's incredible defense, AJ Lexie's final start of the season, and Joe Barlow's continued dominance as the Rangers closer.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked onto the Texas Rangers. I am your host, Bryce Patrick, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me this week on Thursday afternoon during the Rangers' final, next to the final home, afternoon game of the season, and get in on the action. Today is Wednesday, my dudes, September 29th. Your Rangers are 58-99, one game ahead of the Pirates for that third overall pick. They're locked into either the third or fourth pick. They are finally mathematically eliminated from getting the first or second pick in this draft. So they're going to have a at least slightly worse pick in this year's draft compared to last year's draft. Now, last night's game, the Rangers beat the Angels, staved off getting their 100th loss of the season. Can they keep doing that? If they win every single game for the rest of the season, so the final five games of the season, they can avoid going and getting 100 losses. It'll be the first time they've done that in quite a while. I'll have more on the 100 losses once it actually happens. Maybe it'll be in tomorrow's episode. Maybe it'll be on Monday's episode. Maybe it'll be on Friday's episode. Who knows? Who knows when they're going to get that 100th loss, if they're going to get that 100th loss. It's technically possible, though honestly, I'd rather them just get it. Honestly, just get it. Go for the history. You've been that bad. You have. Like, it's been bad. And whether you lose 99 games or whether you lose 104 games, which would be all of the final games of this season, we'll know how bad it's been. We'll know. And you're not going to trick us. We watch this team. It's been on display how bad this team has been. But you know what wasn't bad? Adolis Garcia's defense. My goodness, this guy is just, he's just something else. His defense is incredible. He made two plays last night that were absolutely fantastic. Two plays that, one of them, I don't think I've ever seen another baseball player make this play. I mean, he's done some incredible things in his day, but this might be the best play I've seen him make. This came in the, bottom of the sixth inning. AJ Lexie was pitching. It was not the bottom of the sixth inning. Goodness gracious. But anyway, David Fletcher was hitting, and Adolis Garcia is playing in right field, as he does. Top of the second inning with two outs. This end of the inning, David Fletcher, right-handed batter, was hitting. And in comes a pitch from AJ Lexie. It's a fastball, high and away, sliced way foul down the right field line. Adolis Garcia is playing pretty close to that right field line. He's already cheating. He thinks he sees where the pitch is going to be. He kind of knows. He gets a jump on it early, and he's sprinting from right field all the way into the corner. Like, this ball is hit on a freaking rocket. He jumps into the wall, snags it. It would have gone into the camera well on the right field, like, the first base side. Like, it would have gone in there, and he makes this amazing play. You literally just have to go watch it. It's on the Locked On Rangers Twitter. I tweeted out last night, so go look on Locked On at Locked On Rangers on Twitter. Go see the video of this play. It's absolutely incredible. He leaps over, snags it like he's stealing a home run, but he's just stealing a foul ball. Like, I don't know how you make that play. It's incredible. It's one of the most amazing defensive plays I have ever seen. And I know it sounds like hyperbole, but to get that read on it, just the second he's close to the right field wall, but the second, not even the second, the nanosecond that it comes off the bat, he is there. He knows exactly where it's going. He makes a dead sprint perfectly. You could not make a more perfect route. He jumps and midair knows he's going to collide with that little wall. There's no like, you know, netting there, but he does it anyway. And then another ball he makes is another amazing play he makes. Rojas in the fourth inning, top of the fourth inning with one out, hits this ball on a line, I believe 111 miles an hour. He makes this play to just make enough steps back and flat-footed throws an absolute frozen rope to Nathaniel Lowe at first base and doubles off Mayfield. The throw looked like it was at least 90 miles an hour. He made it flat-footed. There was no hop, skip, and a jump. There was no leap. There was no buildup. Literally just off his back foot, basically, throws it basically 90 miles an hour and doubles off this guy. It's just the clinic that he put on. That was his 16th outfield assist, which ties him for the league lead. The major league lead with, I believe, Hunter Renfroe, which just, man, this guy's defense has been incredible, whether it's in center field, whether it's in left field, whether it's in right field. His defense has been amazing. He has been one of the best defenders in baseball. Right now, he is 7th in defensive runs saved. That is behind Michael A. Taylor, Ryan McMahon, Jacob Stallings, Carlos Correa, Ha-Sung Kim, and Adam Duvall, which is very confusing, but, you know, we'll go with it. Another high-ranking player in defensive runs saved is, of course, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. He's always up there pretty far. 11th in defensive runs saved is IKF. And Joey Gallo, I believe, is at 15th. So former Ranger there. Man, just thinking about how good the Rangers outfield defensively could be if Joey Gallo was still here. When you have Adolis Garcia, say you put him in left field, then you have Leody Taveras, who has been incredible defensively this year. Not quite as good, according to defensive war from Baseball Reference. Right now, he's got a 0.6 defensive war in 44 games this year, whereas last year he had a 0.7 defensive war in 33 games. So 11 more games and 0.1 worse defensive war. That's fine. He's still been very good defensively. I don't think he's robbed as many home runs. And I'm sure he'll be up there on the defensive runs saved leaderboard. This is according to Field Bible, by the way. But man, Adolis Garcia has been one of the best defenders in baseball. He has been phenomenal. He has been electric. He has been, if not more electric on defense than he has on offense. I mean, granted, his defense hasn't slumped, and he has been playing more right field. And I think that has allowed him to play more games. He's played quite a few games this year and done a very stinking good job of it. Right now, he's still listed as the primary center fielder on their Baseball Reference page, 144 games he's played in. I'm pretty sure he's going to play all the rest of them. And to think he didn't, I don't think he's missed very many games, even just sitting occasionally, because he missed so much at the start of the season because he wasn't with the team because they DFA'd him. They put him in the minor leagues and then they called him up and immediately he was just fantastic. This guy deserves to be Rookie of the Year. I know Randy Arozarena has been good. I know he's been fine. But right now, Adolis Garcia is 2nd in Fangraphs WAR in all rookies. All rookies, not just American League, but National League as well. Jonathan India is the runaway favorite for the Rookie of the Year in the National League. He has been very stinking good, just ridiculously good. He has had a 4.1 WAR season according to Fangraphs. He has 21 home runs, 12 stolen bases, 11.3 walk percentage. Adolis Garcia's right now, for contrast, is 5.1. His strikeout percentage is 31.2%. His isolated power is 214, which, you know, nice shout out to the 214. But his on base is under 300. His slugging is over 450. Would just like to see both those numbers be up a little bit next year. I think he can make some improvements. I think having an offseason is going to give him some time to rest, recoup, and have another great season. But I'm going to take a quick break, come back, and look a little bit more at what his defense means compared to the other guys in the American League Rookie of the Year chase. Right after this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I will be hosting rooms for Locked On Rangers once a week. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every single day. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you in Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and, of course, reacting to big news or rumors. Be sure to join me this week. I'll be hosting a room on Thursday afternoon during the Rangers day game, the series finale, the final game they'll play against the Angels. That's Thursday afternoon. So go download the free Green Room app currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link to your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Bryce Patrick. Be notified when my room goes live, and I know you won't want to miss it. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Rangers. See you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk about sports. This episode is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for all things football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDON. Now, again, thinking about three potential Gold Glovers in the outfield for the Rangers, like, that's just absolutely incredible. Yoey Taveras is going to win several Gold Gloves. Otherwise, every Gold Glove winner, or just winner, and, you know, the award should just be destroyed, because I know Leody's going to win several of those things throughout his career. Adolis Garcia should absolutely win one this year. He has been incredible. He has been ridiculous playing center field, left field, right field. He's done it all. And his arm is among the best in the outfield in baseball. I'd say it rivals Joey Gallo's. That is a huge compliment. Joey Gallo is a guy who threw 100 miles an hour off the mound. Adolis Garcia has been clocked at 95 in the outfield. 95. That is absolutely insane. I think 95.6 is the hardest throw that he's made. I think it was the one that he made in Baltimore. I'm not exactly sure. But throwing 95 from flat-footed, not on a mound, not with the pitcher's windup and everything, literally just flat-footed, that is absolutely incredible. And, you know, if he wanted to, I bet he could throw 100 miles an hour off the mound. The guy's arm is that strong. It's ridiculous. And, you know, I'm still bemoaning the fact that the Rangers had a chance to have three Gold Glove outfielders in the outfield at the same time. But, you know, it's fine. It's fine. We'll get over it. We'll survive. I'm not even going to say that Joey Gallo can maybe come back, because I don't want to go there. That's not okay to put people through that. But, you know, theoretically, there is a chance. Anyway, looking at defensive metrics on FanGraphs, Randy Rosarena, who is the guy who might probably end up winning this award because, you know, for some reason, offense is more important than defense to these voters. And also, name recognition helps. He is tied at a 2.8 war with Adolis Garcia. Randy Rosarena has played 137 games as opposed to Adolis Garcia's 144. Rosarena has 20 home runs. He has a strikeout percentage of 27.9, so still a pretty high strikeout percentage. His ISO is under 200. His BABIP, so he's getting a little bit lucky. Adolis Garcia's BABIP, batting average on balls in play, for those who don't know. Adolis's is 307, and Randy Rosarena's is 357. He's walking 9% of the time. But his offensive numbers, or his defensive numbers, I should say, Adolis is plus 8.8. And Randy Rosarena is minus 12.2. What's insane is that Wander Franco, who has only played 65 games, has 2.4 war season right now, according to FanGraphs. 2.4 in 65 games. That's absolutely insane, which means if he had actually played the whole season, been healthy, he probably would have just demolished both of these guys in the Rookie of the Year race. I mean, Wander Franco has done fantastic work. He has a strikeout percentage under 13, 12.7, a walk percentage of 8.5. He had 7 home runs in those 65 games, 2 stolen bases. By the way, Adolis Garcia has been pretty good on the base paths as well. 14 stolen bases for him on the season. Really, really liked what I've seen from him there. Been pretty aggressive and, you know, knows what he's got and knows how to use his speed. But I want to transition and look really quickly at what AJ Alexi has done in his final start of the season, then kind of get a bigger look at his body of work, what he's done in this rookie season, and what I think about him moving forward, coming up right after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. There's something for literally everybody. You talk to a Built Bar friend, they've definitely got their faves. There's so many good ones, and it's really hard to pick a favorite. Honestly, they're just all so freaking good. Salted caramel, double chocolate, mint brownie, raspberry, cherry, barcia, cookies and cream, German chocolate. They're just all fantastic. And you know, not only are they delicious, they're also super healthy for you. There's 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. They're amazing flavors. They're all tasty. They're all healthy. If you don't know what you like, you know, you can get a mixed box. You'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. That's a really good way to kind of figure out what you like. And then you can go and mix and match and make your own box from there. So go get one, taste it. Trust me, they are fantastic. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You will get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 at built.com. Now, AJ Lexi had his final start of the season. It's almost assuredly his final start of the season. He's not going to start on Sunday. This is it for him. But, you know, ended up being a solid rookie campaign for him. He went 5 innings, allowed 3 hits, 2 earned runs, both of those off of the home run that he gave up to Max Stassi in the second inning, but did a good job working around stuff. Otherwise, only 2 walks in his 5 innings. That is what I'm looking for. That is what I'm looking for him. He has walked too many. He has walked way too many in his first starts. He knows that. That is his big, you know, question mark about him. If he can be a starter long term, he needs to walk fewer people. And I think he can do that. It's just a matter of, will he do that? He has been, you know, pretty solid, but 6.7 walks per 9 innings is not great. 1.6 home runs per 9 innings is also not great. The hits per 9 have been very great. Only 5.1 hits per 9 innings, an ERA plus of 94. So just a little bit below average for him in these 5 games, 4 starts for him. 23 innings on the season, a 4.70 ERA. You know, not bad. Better than I expected. Granted, he had a fantastic minor league season coming into this. But again, the jump from AAA to the big leagues is absolutely massive. It is the Grand Canyon. It's literally like jumping across the Grand Canyon. He did great in Frisco in 13 games there, 50 in the third innings, 1.61 ERA. In just under 15 innings in AAA, he had a 1.84 ERA, 11.7 strikeouts per 9 at Round Rock, 10.2 at Frisco, 3.7 walks per 9 and 3.8 at Round Rock and Frisco, respectively. And again, 5.5 and 4.5 hits per 9 innings at Round Rock and Frisco, respectively, again. So the batting average against has been very good at all levels this season. Just the walks, man, major league hitters are so stinking good that they are extremely, extremely selective. So some of those pitches that he was getting away with against lesser competition have not really, he's not been able to get away with against the big leaguers, which, you know, duh. Big leaguers are really stinking good. And being good against big leaguers is also really stinking good. But again, I've liked what I've seen from the season. He's using that fastball about 55% of the time, slider about 19% of the time, changeup 18%, and the curveball just 8% of the time. He's done fairly solidly. He's thrown most of his pitches, except for the changeup. He's throwing much higher percentage to left-handed batters than to righties. And the slider, he's throwing much more to righties as opposed to lefties. If he can get that changeup, if he can get it to be, you know, effective inside against right-handers, it's a very, very effective pitch. It's hard to get. It's hard to be able to control that. And if you don't throw it far enough inside, it'll start to move over the center of the plate, and a changeup over the center of the plate to right-handers from a right-hander is usually a no-no, usually a big no-no, because right-handed hitters will absolutely mash that pretty much all day. But again, it's his first major league season. He jumped through the system really quickly, spent a lot of time off, didn't pitch in 2020, hasn't pitched all that much in general. In 2019, he just didn't pitch that much at all. This is a big leap for him. He last threw over 80 innings in 2018. He threw 108 for Hickory back when he was a 20-year-old. again, he's moved through the system pretty quickly with the Rangers. He joined the Rangers at 19 in 2017, pitched fairly well in 20 and two-thirds innings back in low A Hickory at that time. This year, he's thrown 65 innings on the season, 75 strikeouts overall. And that's at the minor league level. And then you add in his major league innings, and he's got 88 innings. Yes, 88 innings. So that's a solid barometer for him. I think he's going to throw more innings next year. And again, not super duper impressive. Definitely had some flashes where he looked like a really stinking good big leaguer. His first start, definitely his best. Second start looked all right as well. Middle two were fine. Third and fourth starts were fine. But this one is a great way for him to close off the season. I think that'll really help him get some confidence. Don't think he's going to throw much in the offseason, but should definitely be ready for next year. I still think that he needs quite a bit of seasoning in AAA. There's no need to rush him. If he shows that he has dominated for, you know, an extended period of time, more than he showed this season, I get it that they needed him to come up to the big league level this year with the COVID outbreak. And he did a good job of just being able to handle that. And that is honestly very impressive and a good thing for him. But I think he still needs some seasoning in AAA. I think that'll be good for him. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do next year, because I'm sure he'll be back at the big leagues at some point. Might take a little while, but I would definitely like to see him get some seasoning in AAA. But overall, a very solid first year in the big leagues for AJ Alexi. Kudos to you. Kudos to the Rangers. And, you know, kudos just in general. Now I want to look really quickly at this game the Rangers had against the Angels, a 5-2 win. The Rangers were pretty much solidly in control for most of this one. Granted, AJ Alexi's two runs did score in the top of the second inning, and the Angels had a lead at that point, but the Rangers were able to answer back and get four runs in the bottom of the second inning. Really solid inning for the Rangers there. Their offense was absolutely kicking. It was a Max Stassi home run. That also scored Jose Rojas because he walked. And, you know, that's the bad thing. If you give a bunch of home runs and walks, but not a lot of hits, you know, home runs score everybody that's on base. That includes the walks. So you got to be really careful with those guys, because those can be dangerous. At least it was a leadoff walk. He struck out the leadoff batter, but still. Anyway, Charlie Culberson got on with a single. Jonah Heim was able to double and score Charlie Culberson. Louis Tavares did a really great job to work a walk on four pitches. IKF also worked a walk. Yes, great. Love those things. Love seeing both of those guys walk. I want to see them walk quite a bit. Andy Ibañez comes in and singles on a line drive to left fielder Phil Gosselin and scored Jonah Heim, and Leody brought IKF to third. Adolis Garcia was able to ground out to the first baseman, Jared Walsh, and scored IKF. Andy Ibañez out at second, and Adolis Garcia was there to first. So they tried to turn two. They were not able to. And then Nathaniel Lowe grounded to force out to end that inning. But again, it was a good job of rallying and a good job of getting an insurance run in the seventh inning. The Rangers need to keep getting those insurance runs. Adolis Garcia was able to single on a line drive to left fielder Phil Gosselin and score Andy Ibañez. Ibañez had a triple on just a really bad defensive play by the left fielder. Honestly, just kind of embarrassing. Took a bad angle. That was Gosselin there in left field. Also had an 0-for-4 day at the plate. So just not a great day for Gosselin there. But still, you can only do... It still counts. It still counts as a triple. Andy Ibañez is second of the season. Again, he continues to have a really solid season. Had a three-hit game, and this one had a pair of RBIs. Didn't walk, but, you know, that's fine when you're going 3-for-4 at the plate. His OPS is up to 750 right now. He's hitting 274, which puts him just ahead of Isaiah Kiner-Falefa for the team lead in on-base percentage. By the way, IKF reached three times today, got a single. Also walked twice. Yes, absolutely love that. Great for him. Needs to keep walking. Offensively, not much else. Jonah Heim had his multi-hit day. That was great. Love to see that. Leo Tavares reached on a walk, didn't get a hit, but did end up scoring a run because, you know, he's a really great base runner. He's very fast. So that's very encouraging. Out of the pen, Colby Allard worked a shutout. Perfect shutout inning in the sixth. Great job, Dennis Santana. Inning in two-thirds, then Brett Martin came on and got one out. that eighth inning absolutely flew by. And then Joe Barlow comes on, allows one hit, doesn't strike anybody out, but gets his 10th save of the season. This guy has been nails for the Rangers. He has a 1.61 ERA on the season. And, you know, I've been very impressed with Joe Barlow. I think he's going to continue. I think his numbers might come down to earth just a little bit, you know, just a little bit. His max exit velocity right now is in the 81st percentile in Major League Baseball. His fastball velo is in the 69th percentile, which I think is pretty nice. His fastball spin is about average, 53rd percentile. The curveball spin, only in the 16th percentile, but he's not throwing his curveball that much. I wish they would put, you know, slider spin rate as well, because that's his primary off-speed pitch. He's throwing that fastball just under half the time, the slider about 41% of the time. Shout out to Dirk and for 41, in case you missed that reference. And the curveball, he's throwing it just 12% of the time. So, you know, he throws all those pitches about equally to everybody, be it right-handers or left-handers, except for the sinker. He's just thrown 7 of those sinkers. So literally just 1.6% of the pitches that he's thrown. He's only thrown that 6 times to righties and 1 time to lefties. But the numbers are really good against the other stuff. Hitters are hitting just 071 against his slider, 167 against his fastball. They're doing a little bit better, but against his curveball, 333. But again, really solid stuff from him. 35.1% whiff percentage on the slider, 36.4 whiff percentage on the curveball. Granted, a small sample size. He's only thrown 183 sliders and 53 curveballs. So do what you will with those numbers. The expected numbers are a little bit higher than what his actual numbers are in the batting average and the WOBA and things of that nature. So maybe his numbers will come down to earth a little bit next year. But again, even if they come down to earth a little bit more, they're still really solid numbers. The guy has done fantastic work figuring it out, walking fewer people, and just having a really solid season. Again, the walks per nine are at 3.9, which, you know, isn't super great. But when your hits per nine are at 3.9 as well, your whip is under 0.9. And your ERA plus is at 275. Those numbers will play. Again, I'd like the strikeouts to be higher. Only 8.4 strikeouts per nine. But again, major league hitters are really stinking good. They're really stinking hard to strike out. Maybe adding that sinker, feeling a little bit more confident with it. Working a little bit more on that curveball, which needs to be a little bit better. But again, he's a closing pitcher. You only really need 2 pitches. If you got those extras that are a little bit above average or even average, heck, because the fastball, the slider are above average at this point. So those 2 will get him through. Those will be his bread and butter. And again, he will do really solid work for the Rangers the rest of this season. I've loved what I've seen from him. He is, I think, going to be their closer next year. Depends on how well Jose Leclerc and Jonathan Hernandez look when they come back. But it's still, he's at the very worst going to be a very powerful, very important arm in this Rangers bullpen next year. Now, the next to last game of this series is going to be Taylor Hearn tonight against Jansen Junk. You know, I can't help but assume that Jansen Junk is a junk baller, but maybe that's an unfair assumption based on his name. Should be a very good matchup. This is going to be Taylor Hearn's final start of the season. I'm definitely looking forward to what he's going to look like against this team. And in his final start of the season, because he's had a really solid stretch as a starter. I think he's going to be in this Rangers rotation next year. I don't know how much of a guarantee it is, as much as I thought it was a few starts ago, but still very excited to see what he can do. That's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about this game, Taylor Hearn. Maybe a little bit of a look at the Rangers minor league system. Maybe some 100 loss talk. Who knows what we'll get. Just like who knows what we'll get in this baseball season. Thank you so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. Make sure to make it your first listen tomorrow when we talk about all that good stuff. I'm Bryce Paddock, and until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.